Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today we're going to take a journey. I want you to put on your cap of imagination and join me and my guests today in an experience that I think both adults and children enjoy a great deal. It's a story about a little boy, Jonathan, his journey to Mount Meapu, and my guest today, Ellen Wolfson Valadares, is going to, well, share the bits of the story here, and I know you'll enjoy it just as much as I did. I want to welcome you to the show, Ellen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Donna.
I was really intrigued with this story. I have to tell you that so many times when people will write fictitious pieces, I don't find that they capture what I feel is an essence that is unique and that can touch the personal chords of a person within. And yours did that. And what surprised me when I first was made aware of your book is that this was a children's story, but I thought it's more than just a children's story. Now, Ellen, I want my listeners to know that not only are you a writer, obviously, but you've been very much involved in a metaphysical, spiritual journey of your own. You work quite a bit as a community volunteer, and you're a mom also. But you really enjoy working with both adults and children, and that's what I found in the material of your book. You want them to be able to be fearless about their lives, but also to dip into themselves so that they can become aware of their own inner greatest. And you are a native Floridian, a Floridian, I think that's how they pronounce it.
Uh-huh.
And you have a degree in journalism from the University of Florida. You teach workshops. And this is your very, very first novel, per
yes.
se. And I want to ask you, what was the stimulus for this? Because it obviously shares a lot of your own personal journey, at least in my perception when I was reading it. Why did you decide a novel rather than, gee, this is the story of my life?
You know, that's a very interesting question. And thank you, first of all, for your insight and seeing so much into the book, because that fills me up so much, because you got it and you got the purpose. And I love that when adults do connect with the story. And it is, more and more I realize, it is my story. And of course I did go through my own spiritual journey and coming out of the dark into the light, and I guess discovering that I was a child of the light. So I did decide, it just became a mission for me. It came an idea, because I guess I wanted to help kids. When I was a kid, growing up, you know, I believed in some, you know, the paranormal somewhat. And I had that urge to know why I was here and what was my destiny and what was my special purpose. And I guess I wish somebody would have put something like that in my hands, because I think it would have spoken to me. And I think today the children are even so much more ready to hear that. Now, it'll just entertain kids. I'm hoping for that. But if it speaks to them on another level, that's really wonderful. But what I'm finding is even for the adults that it mirrors their own journey. So, you know, it just was a desire of mine. And I guess the guidance just really came through to tell it in a story. I still might do the nonfiction one, too, for adults one day. But.
Now, you have a delightful artist who helped you put the material together, Maureen Burdock.
Yes.
She's from Germany, and she has done artwork nationally, internationally, and she just recently received an award from Judy Chicago through the Flower from New Mexico Feminist Artist. Wow,
right.
What a long sport title for women under the age of 40, but congratulations to her. She has a warmth in the art that she puts into this book that I think is just very, very special. And it adds to your content in a most delightful way. Now, Jonathan, mm-hmm. when I was going through the book and I was reading the book, and I do read before I book anybody on the show, Jonathan, to me, was a representation of the child within all of us
mm-hmm.
that has to go through a lot of experiences before we're willing to let go and enter into change.
Right, exactly.
And it was almost as if he was going through the rite of initiation into his own young manhood. Am I correct in what I looked at
there? Exactly, exactly. And I think that, you know, that was the whole thing. It is, like I said, it speaks to the inner child, and it's also is Jonathan's journey to overcome his fears, which on all of our journey, exactly, you know, we're trying mm-hmm. to overcome our fears and our doubts, and we do that by discovering who we are and the light within. But I think you did pick up, like, for instance, he had to learn to trust. And he had to learn to take that leap of faith. As that's one of the scenes where he has to jump off this big cliff. So the leap of faith and believing in what his heart is telling him, and believing in his own guidance and following that guidance and staying on the path. You know, so all those things do come across. And so I think you definitely picked up on that exactly.
What I really liked about it is that, and especially if you're reading this for kids, I think the interaction between an adult and a child, a young person, and actually I know of teenagers, young teenagers
mm-hmm.
that would enjoy this book
mm-hmm.
because of the way the journey evolves. And I think that, and this is just my own perception, when you were talking about the bullies, this is something that so many parents are concerned about today.
Yes.
And it seems like bullying, gee whiz, all of us, I guess, have to go through that. I mean, my husband was bullied when he was a kid, you know, a young kid, by a bunch of girls. And, I can remember being bullied by both boys and girls, but especially girls. I mean, we all have these situations we have to grow through to be able to stand up for ourselves. But you have a chapter where he gets trapped, mm-hmm. trapped in darkness. And I love that title because whether you're an adult or you're a child, there are those emotional, physical moments that you can go through. But he actually does get trapped. He actually, in the story, he is trapped in a pipe.
Right. In a drain pipe, that's right. And it's his worst fear come to life because it's the darkness that he fears the most, and he can't see anything. And don't we all fear the darkness the most? Finally he kind of, you know, he feels very alone and feels like it could be compared to the dark night of the soul, I guess, you know, he's trapped
mm-hmm.
in the darkness. And what does he do? But he finally kind of asks for help, you know, and he sees the little glimmer of light, which, again, that's, I think, what helps us. I know that's what happened to me in my moments of darkness. There was that little glimmer of light that got me through, and that's kind of, you know, just the beginning of the journey.
Now, Mount Meapu.
Yes.
To me, this sounds so Polynesian, so Hawaiian. Where were you thinking of this location being? Because Mount Meapu, how did you come up with such a unique name?
It's funny because the name I really came up with, I created an acronym. So it actually has a meaning that I'm really not divulging yet. But that's why I made up the name, really. But as far as the images and everything, I was kind of more in maybe Central America, in those kind of mountains, in those kinds of areas. I wasn't really thinking about Hawaii. That's interesting. But it could sound like
well,
that.
Well, that's just me. That's my romantic.
Yeah, but that's
guy.
Okay.
I just, you can take it anywhere you want, but I was just curious about the name. So we've got a big secret, folks, with the name. One day she's going to reveal it. Now, he had to go on this journey, and in this journey he had this wonderful friend, and it was a young girl.
Ariella.
And she was sort of like, yes, and she was like a guardian.
Yes.
And Ariella is a pretty gutsy little girl. And everything is sort of proportioned down to how his perspectives would perceive it. But again, as an adult reading this, of course, my husband says I haven't gotten past, he did tell me 5 at one time, but he's regressed me to 3.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing.
So anyway, I mean, this is just something, this is just the way I resonate with stories. It's just who I am. But it is something that, again, I think touches the child within the adult, because all of us, if we are honest, we want to be able to have that freedom to take journeys within the mind. We have so much structure we have to deal with in everyday life. To be able to share this with a young child, if you have youngsters in your family, you're going to be able to take this journey yourself, and it's going to be just as interesting to you when you're reading it as an adult to a young person as it would be if the kid, you know, just was reading it out loud to you. I think you've done a very good job of writing it. Let's talk about Grandma Trudy in here, because Grandma Trudy was quite a personality. I liked her a lot.
Good. And, you know, and the best thing is, you know, I dedicated it to my mom, who's passed away, and my Ariella is the name of my first daughter, who was stillborn. So those are the special things for me that are in the book. But Grandma Trudy is kind of modeled after my mother. So I always feel her around, knowing, you know, she's very proud of her character there. So, but yeah, Grandma Trudy is kind of, she's the wise woman, and also a guide, you know, for for Jonathan, and helping him, you know, to kind of find his way when he's at first lost, and he's lost on this mountain, and there's no communication and no computers and telephones, and he can't believe that, and she tries to explain to him. And she also gives him the special realmometer to help him find his way and help tell the time between where he is and his home, so he doesn't worry so much about that his parents are worried about him. So, and she's also that surrogate grandma, mom, you know, giving him that warmth and that unconditional love, you know, so.
But well, she, I think, too, let's just take it a little bit out of into a different spectrum. You actually, in this story, are dealing with what often people talk about, a quantum time theory.
Right.
And that is that you can have parallel universes, and that is what is in the story without using the technical terms.
Exactly.
So it is something that here he is in this experience while he is stuck in the pipe, and there's so many wonderful details. Of course, we're not going to tell you all because you need to get the book, Jonathan's Journey to Mount Meapu. But the thing is that he's really living this experience, and if you are an adult and you've had any kind of out-of-body experiences or very vivid dream experiences where you can smell and taste and this type of thing, this is that type of a journey for this young man. And I really love what you said about there's no computers. He's disassociated from all of this, and he is learning about a different type of reality. So
exactly.
this is really, really good. And then things are changing, and he likes what he sees, but yet he's been told there are warnings that if something isn't corrected, Mount Meapu may no longer be.
Right.
And so he's part of the rescue.
Right, exactly. And that's his special destiny that he discovers, his special purpose, which is so fulfilling. And I think that, you know, we all have that special purpose to fulfill in this life. And whether it is we have our gifts and our talents, and that's also part of his journey there, is to start believing in himself and find out all these special abilities that he's been given, and that it's all for a reason, to help Mount Meapu. And even by helping Mount Meapu, he's helping Earth. And I have to say, you know, for those spiritual folks that are listening, you know, Mount Meapu to me is almost, you know, it is that place that you journey to in your meditations. It's that, you know, you know, wondrous, perfect world, almost what we picture Earth evolving into one day when consciousness shifts, right? And so that's how I see. And I love, one of my friends read the book, and she was just very emotional about it. She's like, I felt like I was home when I was reading about Mount Meapu. So I think people will identify exactly what you said like that. And how important it is, you know, that that's all connected with Earth and that we have to shine our light to preserve all of this, you know, is kind of what he's learning too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I like one portion in here. Grandma Trudy, when he's talking to her, he's asking her all kinds of things, and then she says, do you believe in fate, or do you believe that you can make your own destiny?
Uh-huh.
And I'm quoting directly from your book, Grandma Trudy. You know, he's just so anxious about all of this, and she's challenging him. She's the wise woman. She's challenging him. She said, yes, it's both. We both have fate, and we create our own destiny, but it's not necessarily one or the other. Look at your arrival at my home, for instance. Is it a coincidence that you wound up here today? My dear, you were destined for this moment in time, and yet you contributed to your destiny. You made it happen with your choices. You could have taken another path, but you chose to trust in Ariella and come here. So you also had a hand in your fate today. And what that does, that brings, I think, to what I call a conscious present awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as if all of these subtle lessons are being given to this young boy, this young man, so that he does become empowered, so he
uh-huh.
does become aware of thinking and recognition that he has choices about what he's going to do. And then you go into the great shadowy blob. Oh, we all need a blob in our life, and I mean, he's got his that keeps him company, and of course none of us like the blobs.
Right.
Not any. And Ariella is always challenging him to, like you said, jump off a cliff or to do different things. And she's always encouraging him. And there comes a point where she cannot do the journey for him. So he's got to go through it. She said, you're much braver and stronger than you know. Your book is just so, the story is so warm. And at the same time, it would be so easy for a young person to read this. But what a wonderful book you've got here, so people can even ask questions, you know, of the kids when they're reading, or even of themselves. Wow.
Right.
What
right.
would I
Thank
do
you.
In this situation?
Right. Exactly. So
now,
I appreciate that.
Have you done any reading before kids with this book and ask for their feedback?
Well, I have two of my own kids who really love it.
Aha!
You know, it's funny, I was thinking today that when I started the book, you know, it took me many years to accomplish this task, but when I started, they were so young, but when it finally got published, they were the perfect ages. You know, one is 9 and one is 12 now, but they did sincerely, although they're a little biased. But what has been really interesting is that their friends have read it. Now, most of the kids, I would say, they have really enjoyed it. I think some have been really surprised that they did enjoy it so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were entertained. I don't know at what depth, you know, they're getting, but they're enjoying the story. And I know one of my son's friends read it in like 2 days, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
and it's a 320-page book with big type, but, you know, but that makes me feel wonderful that they're enjoying it, they're reading it quickly. And what I love, too, is that some of the kids tell me, oh, I think that's, you know, that's like me. Or they see themselves in the characters.
Yes.
And to me, that's the biggest compliment. I even had adults, you know, in my life that said, did you use me for that?
Mm-hmm.
But if mm-hmm. anybody can see themselves in the characters, that's what is supposed to happen. And so, you know, so I'm happy for that. But I'm very thrilled by the feedback from the kids who are reading it. And
well, and I think that's important. Again, what are the ages for the book, Jonathan's Journey to Mount Meapu?
Yeah, I would say between the ages of 8 to 12. You know, and it depends. Like you said, some teens might enjoy it. People should know it's very G-rated, you know, so there's it's good for the younger kids and the older kids. It could be too G-rated for them. I don't know. But so I say 8 to 12, and, of course, the adults.
Well, I think your book would be a wonderful stimulus for reading for a family.
Right.
That if you have the children from the ages of 8 to 12, the language that's in it, the words, are going to be very comfortably easy to speak for someone that's 8 years of age. And if they need some help, that's okay. Everybody can join in and work with it. But my thought was, what a wonderful thing it would be is if you had mom and dad and maybe the kids in the family, or you had some friends over and you had a reading hour. And this was done where maybe you'd do a chapter or two a week, and then everybody would come back and say, wow, what's going to be happening next?
Because ooh, I love it.
that is something that can create a stimulus, or even in a school environment.
Right. And then
you ask the kids, how do you see yourself related to Jonathan? Or, wow, mom and dad, or aunt and uncle, or grandma and grandpa, whoever's listening in, what do you think about this? Have you ever felt like this? Gee whiz, what was your experience? Because I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give to anybody else is an awareness that they're not alone. And that's one of the lessons that Jonathan goes through.
Yeah.
Is learning that he's not alone, that there are people there to help him, that there are answers to questions he may have, and he shouldn't feel small because he has these questions. And again, this to me goes across the board. We adults need to remember that and not get on our high horses and think, well, I'm going to suffer through everything. Martyrdom is the way I'm supposed to go. Baloney. All martyrs are dead. We don't need any of that. We need to be able to live life and contribute to life. And I think that's one of the gifts that your book brings.
Right. And it's so funny because that was one of my notes that I was making, thinking about this interview, that, you know, about that's part of the message here, to realize that we are not alone. And I know, and I maybe that's reflected in what I learned in my spiritual journey and getting onto the metaphysical path, is that that was a big thing for me, because there was a time I didn't believe in anything or anything more. And I think it brings so much peace to your life to know that you're not alone spiritually, or even in the physical life you're supported. So it's a very important thing, very empowering to know that.
Now, what was the name of the apparatus that Grandma Trudy gave to Jonathan again that allowed him to see? It's like it is like a time machine, if you will, that allows him to be in both universes, and this is adult lingo, be in both universes at the same time and yet know what's going on in each of them.
Right, well, not so much be in both, but know the kind of the time in both. But it was called the Realmometer. And I have to credit my kids for helping me come up with that name. We were in the first writing of the book, it was just called a watch device. And I said, no, that's not good. We have to come up with a name. So it was a Realmometer, because obviously it kind of tells the time between different realms. So, but what it also shows, it showed Mount Meapu. And so he could see the great shadow that's threatening to cover Mount Meapu, so it was showing him the progress of that also. But he could also see that time was not passing very quickly at home. So he goes through all of these experiences in about 45 minutes in Earth time, which is amazing.
It is. It's sort of like a dream experience.
Right, exactly.
And that is a good relationship to it. But it's really fascinating. Now, then he goes through light training.
Uh-huh.
And in the training of working with the light, and he also has a communication with animals that I think is just terrific. In working throughout the book, there are these symbiotic relationships that he has with different creatures that are very, very significant. So you have encompassed a lot in the book here, but the truth of it is this journey, which is only like 45 minutes, ends up being life-transforming for him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think that's what it is. So when he comes back after this 45 minutes, he is definitely seeing the world in a whole different way. I mean, he has a new perspective on the bullies. He has a new perspective on his family. And he has a new perspective, you know, on himself. So, yeah, and I think, you know, in the future there will be more adventures with him and his friends, hopefully.
Well, and he has a very special friend, Karen.
Uh-huh.
And she has a wisdom and an insight and a knowledge, and when he finally comes out of the pipe, he's able to recognize her, and she just says, I've been there too, which is wonderful. So he really finds out who his real friends are, but the journey is rich, it is alive, and as I said, I think it's something that adults get as much out of as the children do, and I think the sharing I'm a strong believer in the older generation sharing with the younger generation and then talking about what they share. And, of course, I'm a very strong advocate of reading. And this book is exactly that. Now, you mentioned that you're going to be coming out with another book with Jonathan's Journey to Mount Meapu. Do you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, I do. It is www.childrenofthelight.net.
So childrenofthelight.net. Now, what are they going to find there?
Well, that will be so all about the book and about the author and any other little events that I have coming up, but it's mostly about the book. I don't know if we mentioned the book also. I'm very excited. The book won an award, a Mom's Choice Award.
Fabulous.
For a gold award for juvenile fiction. And I thought that was a wonderful award to get, Mom's Choice, because that's just very special. So moms will love it. Teachers will love it. So that was very great. So they'll find that. That's, you know, all the information, and they can order the book there. Also on Amazon.com, you can order the book. But childrenofthelight.net has all the information about the book.
Now, I want to ask you something. You've got the second one coming out, which I think is going to be great when you get that finished. What would you say to people that want to write stories, that would like to do what you do and maybe use a fiction context to what they want to share? Because there is a difference between writing fiction and writing nonfiction. What would you say to those people that might have an interest in doing that?
Oh, well, first of all, to go for it. I am such a believer in encouraging everybody to do what they're, you know, guided to do. You know, and it's funny what you say about the nonfiction fiction, because I've been a journalist all my life, a writer of nonfiction. So even though I did creative writing somewhat through the years, this fiction novel was definitely a little stretch for me. But I would just say the best advice is just to start writing. For me, what I think when it came down to it, and I know you're a writer too, don't worry about making it perfect the first time. Just write it and get your ideas down. That was always mm-hmm. the biggest challenge for me, because I'm a perfectionist and I want to get it right. But just open that file and let it flow. And what I always found amazing is that, you know, it was almost like you had to get one scene out before the next inspirations would flow, you know, and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden the middle of the night, it's like, oh, that's what's happening next. Even though you might know the beginning and the end, there's all these little things. And just, you know, just do it and follow that inner compass, you know, that's guiding you to do that. And it's a wonderful way to tell a tale. One of the authors I love, for instance, Paulo Coelho, like The Alchemist, you know, those are wonderful, you know, tales that are fictional, but have these really deep messages, and I think it's a wonderful way for people to, you know, absorb information in a fun way, you know.
Well, I think the power of story has always been
right.
especially valuable, because there is a big difference when you will be living through experiences and you have that gross reality. But there's another aspect that when you can shift into the fiction where you can dress it up the way you want it to
mm-hmm.
be. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's the child within us. We want to be touched by stories. And if we can go into that fantasy, let's face it, that's what movies are all about. That's
mm-hmm.
what so much programming is all about. We want to be able to look for those things that we see in ourselves or we want to discover in ourselves. And that's what's so wonderful about your book, Jonathan's Journey to Mount Meapu, is that there is that chance for a young person to have, and an adult, to have that identification and, again, realize they're not alone and go through these various experiences, and it's a safe place to be.
And I think the other thing that children can identify with Jonathan is that he feels very different from other kids, and there's so many kids, I think, that feel they're alone in that way, that they feel like they don't fit in or they feel different. And I think they'll really identify, you know, with Jonathan, or maybe they'll identify with that he has these vivid dreams that come true, or his fear of the dark, you know, that's a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a contemporary kid, you know, so, and it's wonderful. Kids are reading, you know, so much more these days. So I'm happy to give it to the world, and I hope that everybody, you know, enjoys it as much as you did. I'm so happy that you enjoyed it.
Yes.
And I can't wait to read your child's book. I see, and,
yes.
And it looks like we have some similar ideas there.
Yes, I think so. I think there's a very strong compatibility. Well, it has been wonderful having you, Ellen. And it's Jonathan's Journey to Mount Meapu. Go to her website, childrenofthelight.net, childrenofthelight.net. This has won the Mom's Choice Award in Juvenile Fiction. And her name is Ellen Wolfson Valladares, and that's Valladares. Ellen, again, it's a pleasure having you as a guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to share.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and hey, phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also worldwide, no matter where you are, you still can call in and chat with me if you so desire, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial, and after that, just let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. It's that simple, it's not painful at all, and it can be a lot of fun. So, again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, I do want to put out the information. I'm going to be in Alaska, Fairbanks, and Anchorage next week. So the 9th to the 11th, I'll be in Fairbanks, Alaska, and available for private appointments. Also, I will be in Anchorage from the evening of the 11th through Sunday the 15th. And again, all you need to do is call my office if you want to set up an appointment for those of you who are listening from the far north. And that office number is 800-872-8852. And the Donna Sebo Show is going to be live from the far north. We're going to be doing that wherever I go. The show goes with me, unless I'm in a plane. Then I have not yet figured out how we can do it from the up in the air thousands of feet. Also, for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, two very special things coming up where I'm going to be appearing. I'm going to be appearing at the Woman's Show on March 27th, 28th, and 29th. And ladies, this is a must-see. Plan a day, at least in that three-day period, to come on down to Seattle to the Quest Convention Center. You will have the time of your life. Carpool with your girlfriends, all kinds of things are going to be going on there. So go to the Northwest Women's Show, northwestwomensshow.com, and you will find all kinds of information, all about discount tickets, etc., parking, the exact address for the convention center, directions, anything and everything you need to know is going to be right up there on the website. So go for it. It's going to be one of the best things you've ever done for yourself because it's totally, totally catering to we gals. Now, I want to let you know on Friday, I have an absolutely awesome opportunity, and I want to invite you, if you can come out on the Friday, the 27th, the Donna Sebo Show is going to have a positioning on stage, and I have got five dynamic women who are going to be sharing that stage with me. We're going to be talking about money. We're going to be talking about education. We're going to be talking about relationships. We're going to be talking about wellness. We've got so many good people that are going to be there. And you're going to have a chance to be involved in Girl Talk. Yes, and I'll be there live, and I'm just looking forward to it. Also know that I'm going to be in booth 406. So that's the first thing in the Western Washington area that's going on. And then on April the 25th, I'm going to be presenting a class called Mind Vision. This is going to be an all-day class on Saturday the 25th, going from 10 until 4. You can go to my website for more information. Reservations are being taken at this time, and if you call in now for reservations, instead of $95, it's only going to be $85. There's going to be a $10 discount, and you will be getting lunch with that, too. That's right. We're going to have a wonderful interactive workshop to empower you as an individual, not just on a personal level, but also in developing your own intuitive skills. So this class has been expanded from last year, and the price, you're not going to be able to beat it. So do give me a call if you have any questions, 800-872-8852 on my website. The number for the reservation, it's also in my newsletter. You'll be able to call there as well. So don't hesitate to give me a call. Okay, telephone lines again are open, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Hey, I've got a recipe for an apple and almond souffle. If you're like me, you always have a craving for something sweet, but you don't want to have 10,000 calories in every bite. This is yummy. So I'm going to share that with you. So get that pad of paper and pen. But before I go to that, I don't know about where you're listening in from, but I can tell you here in the Pacific Northwest, we are just so thrilled. The sun is coming out. Everything is blooming. And I've got some tips on gardening because this is the time, unless you're frozen, like up in Fairbanks at this time. I think they have all of 5 degrees above zero. You're not going to be able to plant too much at this time up in Fairbanks because it won't survive. But if you're in the Pacific Northwest or in other areas where the spring effect is beginning to take place, you want to start prepping your gardens. And if you're like me, you love wild birds. You just love seeing hummingbirds come in. But you like birds of different species. And we have so many birds that come through in our area in which we live because we have a lot of trees and a lot of wild brush that's around us. And we just love that. Well, if you want to attract more of that, maybe you don't have that in your particular area where you live. You know, bird watching and landscaping really go hand in hand, but you need to know the plants that you can put out that will attract the birds. Now, a lot of plants have berries that are colored that really are bird magnets, and a lot of these plants, that they are really doing more than one job. You know, they'll fill your landscape with colorful foliage and or berries, and they'll offer a number of very good uses. Maybe they're going to frame entryways. Maybe they will be able to cover up areas of ground that during the winter get to be pretty ugly. Well, it's going to allow you to control erosion as well, and all of this is so very important. Now, the criteria for attracting birds and keeping your workload to a minimum, I once knew a lady that had a garden. When I walked into it, I just went, I can't believe that you did it. I mean, she had like a half an acre that was just filled with all these flowers. It took all of her time. She absolutely loved doing it, but it took every bit of her spare time. Of course, that was her passion. But you need to know you don't have to be that way. That's not a necessary thing. You want to have a lot of blooms. You want to have colors throughout the seasons, perhaps. You want to have different elements where are you going to really not have to do a lot of maintenance. So, if you're interested in certain trees and shrubs that fall into minimum maintenance, look at your Japanese flowering dogwood, your saucer magnolia, your eastern redbud, a crabapple, pear, and there's just so many more. Go talk to your local nurseries. They will be delighted to share with you all their beautiful knowledge. Now, if lots of birds are your thing, you might want to think about something else, and that is creating a butterfly haven. You know, butterflies migrate, and many times when they're migrating, let's say from South America, I know there's particular species that migrate. They have a migration trail that go from South America up into Canada, and then they make the loop, and they go back down to South America. Well, what's interesting is that they will reach a certain point, they breed, and those that originally left South America are not the ones that come back. They have like four generations, and that fourth generation retains a memory genetically on how to get back to that location in South America. It's an incredible story. Well, if you love butterflies and you'd love to attract them into your yard, there are some tips that I came across that I think you will find invaluable. A butterfly haven, you can have it, and they are beautiful to watch. Butterflies like nectar from flowers. So the ones that have the most nectar will be effective in attracting butterflies. And due to pesticides and other things that have been incorporated through the years when the butterflies are doing their migration, the populations of butterflies have been diminishing. And so if you want to be one of those people that's going to enable that continuance of these beautiful creatures to brighten up our natural environment, this is something you can do. You want to have those flowers that produce the most nectar because that's what the butterflies want to feed on. Also, butterflies are nearsighted. They love large groups of color. And the brighter the colors, the more the butterflies like it. Also, some plants are easier for butterflies to land on. So plants and the butterflies they attract, and here are just a few of them. Again, talk to your local nursery. They'll give you a lot more information. You have the butterfly cone flower. You have the tiger swallowtail, the monarch, the skipper, and there's so many other butterflies that go that are attracted to that. For your clouded sulfur monarch and the American small copper gray hairstreak, you can plant the Canadian goldenrod. Common milkweed attracts the monarch butterfly, the gray hairstreak. Asters attract the American small copper butterfly. The Joe Pye weed, they attract the silver-spotted skipper. The violets will attract the spring azure blue type of butterfly. The New York ironweed attracts the fiery skipper. And there's just all kinds of things. So talk with your local, again, your nursery. I'm repeating it because it's important. They love questions like this. They're more than happy to tell you about it. And also tell them what your environment is that you have to work with. Maybe you live in an apartment and you want to have a garden up on that apartment balcony. There's things that you can do with that, too. Now, butterflies are cold-blooded, and here's a tip. A butterfly garden should be an open, sunny garden with a temperature of at least 60 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you decorate your garden with flat rocks, those rocks during the warmer periods of the day will warm up, and butterflies like to use these as basking perches. That's right. Also, they like damp areas so that they can take a break from the heat. They're beautiful, beautiful creatures. So anything we can do to encourage their continuance, I think, is really a good thing. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to take a break. Give me a buzz if you want to talk. 877-876-5227-888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTeb Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Siebel will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Siebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, or worldwide, 888-815-9756. Okay, have you got that pad of paper and pen handy? Ready for a dessert that's not going to expand the waistline, but, oh, you're just going to be so elegant when you have it, and guests will like it. But more than anything else, this is the kind of a feel-good dessert that is going to smell heavenly while it is baking. Real easy, very few ingredients, and it's not going to put inches on your waistline. So, here we go. This is an apple and almond souffle, and the ingredients are 3 medium apples, peeled, cored, and cut into bite-sized pieces. And that, I think, is really, you know, what can I say? Choose your favorite apple. If you like more of a tart flavor, then look at a Granny Smith or something. You know, there's certain apples that when you bake them, they're not going to get mushy. Your John Golds are excellent for this. Your delicious apple, if you like that flavor. You want an apple that the meat of the apple is not going to get mushy on you. That's going to be really meant for baking. So that's a Donna tip. Then you're going to need a quarter of a cup of water, 3 tablespoons of sugar substitute granulated, or use stevia. I find stevia is a wonderful item to use, and it doesn't promote sugar levels out of sight. It's really good. So 3 tablespoons of a sugar substitute. And you may want to fix this one time to see if you want a little sweeter, if you want a little bit less. That's something that you'll have to determine. Then you're going to need a half a teaspoon of almond extract, 5 egg whites. These need to be at room temperature. 5 egg whites, and then a quarter of a cup of sliced almonds. And I think what gives it a little bit extra flavor is if you toast your almonds. And that you can do in the oven or you can do just right on top of the stove. In a skillet, put your almonds, your quarter of a cup of almonds, into a large skillet. No grease in the skillet. Just get it so the skillet's nice and warm and let them toast until they get nice and golden brown and, you know, just mix them up. Oh, they're just, it just brings out the flavor of the almonds so nicely. But that's your choice. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. Now, this is going to take about 20 minutes to fix and about 15 minutes to bake. Yeah, that's all. And it's going to serve four people, and it's absolutely beautiful when it comes out. Now, this is how you need to do it. Now, you may want to have a souffle pan, and you need about a quart and a half for a souffle dish. If you don't have one, you don't have to go to the store and buy one. If you have a quart and a half baking dish, then take a piece of foil and make a lip about 3 inches high around that 1.5 quart baking dish. And just keep, you know, have that lip because your souffle is going to go up, and that's what you want. And you want to make sure that you use the foil. That's the way to do it. So anyway, in a 2-quart saucepan, you put your apples and your water, and you bring it to a boil over high heat. And then you reduce the heat to low. You cover it, and you simmer for, and you need to stir it occasionally. You want to make sure you're not going to burn it, for about 10 minutes until the apples are really, really tender. Then, after that 10 minutes, when they're all fixed, that's when you stir in your sugar substitute and your almond extract, and you remove it from the heat, and you're going to put this in your refrigerator for about 10 minutes. Now, if you're like me and in your refrigerator, you've got glass shelves. What you're going to do, you're going to put something underneath that pan that's going to absorb the heat. Remember, you've got the lid on it. You're going to put it under on something that will absorb the heat, and one of those silicone pads, hot pads, great thing to use. Put that in and just know that you're not going to crack the glass, you're not going to damage anything if you have that insulating factor between the hot pad and the shelf that you put it on. Then, while that's going on, while you're putting that in for the refrigerator for 10 minutes, you're going to preheat your oven to 425 degrees. You want a large bowl, and using your electric mixer on high speed, those egg whites that you've had at room temperature, you want to whip them until they become stiff. And then with a rubber spatula, your cooled apple mixture, and it needs to be cooled, it is going to then be folded into that. So you might want to, before, because it's not going to take any time at all to whip those egg whites up, double check after 10, you know, right at the 10-minute level to see if it's cool enough for you. And if it's not quite as cool as you want, give it a little bit more time. Remember, this is not always an exact science, and your refrigerator, depending on how it is set, will make a difference as to how quickly that this will cool. But as soon as those that apple mixture is cooled down and you've got those egg whites mixed, you just go ahead and mix them together. And then you spoon it gently into your 1.5 quart souffle dish or your baking dish that you have this aluminum foil lip on. And you bake it for 15 minutes until the souffle is puffed and brown. And then you sprinkle it with almonds before you serve. And it's a good idea to serve it warm. Again, calories, very few. You could have this, and it is wonderful. It's only 119 calories in a serving. So this is just a great way to satisfy that sweet tooth. And, you know, it can be a minute on your lips, but it's not going to put 16 inches on the hips, which I think is really, really good. You know, I wanted to share with you, I know we're just about out of time, and by the way, oh, I've got to tell you, tomorrow we're going to be talking about two movies. One's on the year 2012, which we keep hearing a whole bunch about because of the Mayan calendar that they have about this being a very significant time shift. But also we're going to be talking about a movie made relative to that about the year 2013, and Sharon Rose is the movie producer. She's going to be on the air with us tomorrow, so we're going to be talking about these two fascinating films, and I know that you will enjoy meeting with Sharon. And also on Friday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Arlene R. Barrow, how to win without competing. Yes, you can do that. And anyway, those are my guests that are coming up this week, and we've got such a wonderful lineup. Be sure to check my website if you want to know more about the guests upcoming, and also the BBS radio website. All of that information with a brief description about each of the guests is there for your reading convenience. I wanted to close out the show with a statement by Brian Tracy, who is a motivational speaker. He said, make a game of finding something positive in every situation. 95% of your emotions are determined by how you interpret events. I think that's so important. When you're listening to stuff during the day, how are you reacting? Are you allowing it to push something, push your hot buttons? You get agitated, miserable, expect the worst. Well, why not find the deactivate button to push and push the button about what is good about a certain situation? How can we make this work for ourselves in a very special way? Empowering yourself as an individual, it will make a difference. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. We're going to be back here tomorrow, right here, same time, same place, the Donna Sebo Show, right here on bbsradio.com. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.